studio with me today, I have my dear friend, Dr. Erin Alstancio. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here with me
today.
Thank you,
Caroline.
So exciting.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here with you. We've been talking a lot over the last couple of
years. Tell our viewers what you do and who you are.
I'm an endocrinologist. I was training internal medicine and endocrinology. I'm practicing endocrinology right now. But I want to start by telling your listeners that how we met, because that was a huge breakthrough in my personal life, and that's what attracted me to your ministry and your work that you're doing. I was going through breast cancer, and because I never had any genetic background, all my tests were negative for any familial inherited kind of cancers. Amazing. I was very shocked. I also was a Christian, and I love the Lord, and of course, why?
Is
the big question. Why is it happening to me? Which is not the right question to ask, but that's what I did.
Yeah.
So when I talked to my oncologist, of course, to go through surgery, through chemo, I said, why? Well, you know, what did I do wrong? What should I do better? I don't want to have this or other issues like this. So he just said, you know, have 50% chance of leaving. And, you know, we don't know exactly why people leave and what happened to the ones that actually don't make it. So that was a really, you know, shocking, scary thing for me. Because I have, you know, a little one at home and an older daughter, and I wanted to help myself. So I was reading through many, many things, and I came across your books. Now, I knew that I was, you know, battling. I'm a type A personality, and all my life, and that's not a bad thing,
no,
you know. So I thought I did all the right things. I worked hard. I loved what I did. But of course, you know, nobody's perfect. So I realized by reading and reading that the way you think, it's very important. You may do the right things, but you may have toxic thoughts. And then in your first book that I read, Who Switched Off My Brain, is like you had so many connections with endocrinology that I actually never was taught in the medical school or in my, you know, residency fellowship, connection. And it's like, whoa, you know, this toxic thoughts that I had, you know, in toxic work schedules, you know, toxic thinking, you have all those so clearly explained in there. It's like, wow, all these hormones, and I don't know anything about it.
Gosh.
So that actually determined.
That's scary, isn't it?
I
just interrupt you for a second there. If you think of it, I mean, people, they're coming to you very often with the emotional issues and things. And there's that connection. You would think that would be like one of the first things that they would explain in or teach you in medical school.
But see what I now, you know, looking back, it comes all to the worldview you have, you know? Because when you have a reductionist worldview, like you many times talk about that, you're looking just at the physical part.
As opposed to,
you know, human being, it's a complex part, you know, spiritual, you know, soul and mind and, you know,
the body, connection
the connection. So, of course, if we think we are just, you know, material, we're going to just think about things that we see and we can study. And, of course, I love science, you know, but science is not complex enough. You know, science is just looking at an observation. So you have to see and then see if your hypothesis is right. So you do lots of experiments and you either confirm your hypothesis or not.
Exactly.
So you look, you work with palpable things.
Yeah.
But we all know that we're not just that, because what is love? What is thought? What is anger? What is joy
that you have? Yeah.
You know, so, and actually from your book, I did read other books, and another one I remember is The Molecules of Emotion of Dr. Candace Pert. And it's like, man, she was an NIH investigator.
Yeah.
So it's like she, you know, explains in, you know, different ways. She's like, wow.
Psychoneuroimmunology. She started that, her and her husband.
Yes, with, you know, pain receptors and all that stuff. She's like, wow, that's amazing. So see, I, for the first time, even though my worldview is I believe in God and Lord Jesus is my savior, I thought they're separated like we are always taught. And they're not.
No.
Because what you believe about yourself, you end up treating yourself like that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Say that again.
what you believe about mm-hmm. yourself, that's how you are treating yourself.
That's so
like
good.
That. And of course, you're treating others like that.
Exactly.
So you think you are just a machine, you know, you don't have any history because you come out of, you know, nothing or come out of a soup or whatever, you know, other, you know, theories out are soup, out there. It's like, who I am, I'm the daughter of the king. That puts me in a different position to treat myself well and to treat others well. Mm. And see, you don't hear that in church and you don't hear that in medical school.
No, you don't. There's this gap, isn't there? There's this disconnect.
It's a huge disconnect.
I've never understood that, though. You know, if you think of the fact that science comes from the word skura, which means knowledge, and God is the source of all knowledge, so we're studying knowledge, and knowledge is all everything about spiritual body, everything about everything that we live as humans. You would think that that would be a primary teaching in any educational facility.
Yeah, and you know, the freedom of studying, and you know, how can you be a researcher without being able to check into everything and to be able to explore everything?
That's
you know, you're
point.
Not like reductionist, oh, this is right.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have access and to try things out. That's the sciences.
That's
and have
science
discussions
is.
Like that's we have with you.
Exactly. Discussion's important because they're saying that this is the only way. You know, these reductionistic scientific studies, I know you've read them, we've discussed this before, but how they'll do a study, they'll get a patient to think this or look at that picture or do something, and then they look at the impact on the brain. Then they say, oh, the brain made them do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've just told the person to do something, and then they look at the results in the brain, then they say the brain's making them do it. They get it all back to front, and then that's what's presented to the public. So the public are thinking that their brain is who they are, and they feel like they've got no hope and no control. And you said that happens to your patients in your
Yes,
practice.
Because, you know, like, you know, I was without hope. You know, if you don't know as a scientist, as a doctor, how to help me, you know, of course, the drugs and the surgeries and, you know, I'm all for that.
Yeah,
but
of course, it's God's gift.
It's God's gift to humanity.
Yeah.
But I had to sort out for myself. And again, the foods, the dietitian I had to meet with, they didn't even know how much I knew about the, you know, the healthy diet. So it's like,
crazy.
How can you be in a cancer clinic
and you
know
how
not
to eat properly? And, and they're giving you, in the cancer clinic, they're giving them in chemo, they're giving them
Yeah,
the
they had
food.
no dietary restrictions, whatever, just not to lose weight, gain weight. Like, my problem is gaining weight, not, you know. It's like, so anyway, so I didn't find for myself.
The support
so
that
I
you needed.
Had to look for. So that's how I found you.
Oh.
And actually, I just want to mention
glad
that
you found me.
I am glad because
glad
I start
you.
Changing, you know, things, how I think about, you know, we all go through stress. And so many times you say, you know, stress is good. And I always thought, you know, stress is bad. Now, okay. If, you know, we have all this endocrine mechanism, you know, the catecholamines, the metanephrines, all these hormones.
Yeah.
And we are built in such a way so we can, if a lion comes in the jungle, you know, all the stress mechanisms are in there. But if you use the same stress mechanism, you know, just because somebody was rude with you or somebody, you lost something or you got a phone call, like you mentioned, and it's like, oh my gosh, they're the same stress mechanism that you use, like if it's a life-threatening emergency.
A life-threatening emergency. Our body's stress is therefore designed to work for us because if we're in a life-threatening emergency, we need to know how to respond quickly with cognitive fluency and accuracy and focus and all that kind of stuff. So there's stress working for us. But people don't always use it like that, do they, Irina?
No.
They use it against them.
Yes, and you use them continuously. So this mechanism, these hormones that are very useful, you know, increasing adrenaline will increase your cortisol. You need more sugar. You need, you need
brain function.
Brain functions on glucose. So all these mechanisms are meant to be for a short time.
Yes.
You take care of the problem.
And then
And then you relax and you go back into, you know, your normal. But our normal in this day and age is just rush, technology until late at night. You're tired. You don't go to bed. Then you cannot sleep because you're thinking about other things. So again, the way you think and you approach your issues, all of us have problems. You know, we're living in this world and we come across different things we need to deal with. I was dealing with this like... like I was the only savior of the world. You know what I mean? It's like I had to do everything. So, and everything, even talking to my patients, their issues, I felt this image, you know, they were coming over me.
You were taking them into a spirit.
I didn't know how to protect myself, you know? Yeah, that's what I learned, that this stress mechanism are good to deal with the serious stuff. But then I know I need to learn how to live in rest. How to train my mind, because it's a process. It's not a pill that I take it and fixes everything. Yes. You know, I have patients that they, you know, they go through the same thing. And I was a physician and, you know, I was a Christian. So you're not hearing in the church or in the medical school and medical world. This has impact on the disease, because that's how I got the disease. You know what I mean? There is just, there's so many.
So what would you say to, what do you say to your patients now that are in a similar state to what you were in? Because you obviously recognize that.
So the thing is, you know, when you see the patient for the first time, you need to really listen.
You need to really listen
because you don't know what, you know, it takes time to kind of figure out what the issues are. So you need to listen to the story. You need to find out about their family. So, you know, part of my, you know, history and physical exam taking. And then depending, you know, they have a question about the thyroid or the adrenal. This is what they thought. Oh, I have all these symptoms. My thyroid is not working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times the endocrine symptoms are nonspecific. So you can have a heart attack and you have, you know, chest pain and palpitations and dizziness and stuff like that. Or you can have an overactive thyroid and you have palpitations and chest pain and your
same symptoms. So you have to try and discern. Yeah.
So you need to discern. Or you can just go through this chronic stress. You do not have a disease yet. And actually, before I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I had palpitations and feeling chest pain and feeling this thing. So I went through all the cardiology tests. Of course, I checked my thyroid and my heart was perfect. You know, just premature ventricular beats that are insignificant, nothing to treat. But I had to take a medication to slow down my heart rate. And it's like, you know, that is not normal. I have no heart disease, but I have this episodes. I have no thyroid disease, but I have this episode.
So what's going on?
And then, so what I tell my patients, you know, these symptoms are nonspecific. Yes, let's look at your thyroid. Make sure this is not going on. And then in the second visit, you know, if I just come to them and I say, oh, it's in your mind, that's what they were told before. That's what they're, you know, they feel rejected. So I try to avoid that. And guilt is like, you don't understand. So that's what I feel it's working. Even if they don't have an endocrine disease, if I pay attention to their, if I listen to them and do what's, you know, normal to do, then, a lot of them have thyroid disease. And then they are shocked. Why do I have this thyroid disease? I put them on medication, like going to the side effects of medication. I have to explain, you know, I do this because the benefits are better if we do it versus we don't do it.
Yeah.
But as a long-term treatment, you know, I tell them, you know, there is something going on in your life. There is some trauma. There is some stressor.
Something in your mind.
There is something that you don't know, yet you perceive it different.
They do know.
They may not know, but again, you know, in my, you know, short time that I'm with them, I can really address the mind issues. But, you know, in our clinic, we do have a psychologist.
That's good.
And it's really good because I can grab her and I say, you know, I'm wrapping up my visit. We're going to do this testing. We're going to do this. And I call her and she starts talking about the mind, about how to address the stress. So that's really helpful.
That's fantastic.
And then I do see that I treat them with a medication and sometimes, yes, depending of the disorder, or they can get off the medication.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's say they have a thyroid nodule. I do a biopsy, you know, I take the, I send them to the surgeon, they have the cancer and they take the thyroid out. Yeah. You need thyroid hormone replacement.
Yeah.
You cannot live without the thyroid. Yeah. So you need a medication for the rest of your life. You had, you know, questions from your listeners.
Yes, that have.
You cannot, you can think positive, but still need the medication.
But you've got no thyroid,
you have no thyroid, you need the medication.
I love that. Okay, what you've raised is a very important point, and that is this balance that we can get extreme on the one camp. Oh, I'm just going to pray that God's going to heal me, and God does. But the fact of the matter is that God also gives us wisdom. If your thyroid to God, you need thyroid medication. God's given us wisdom to science. He's given us the beauty of science to do. So that's very important, that balance that we recognize. If your thyroid's gone, you need the medication. That's not a bad thing. You still pray that the medication works, that your body responds. So it's to get that balance back again, isn't it? Not to be extreme on either side.
Yes, that's very well said. And of course, there are different, you know, thyroid supplements, and it's a lot of battle in the thyroid world, which supplement is better. The better is the one that's more close to the chemistry of human thyroid hormone.
Very good.
Okay. Because initially, you know, 100 years ago when, you know, hypothyroidism was discovered, they had just pig thyroid crushed. They still have that, but that's very antigenic. You know, it's a foreign molecule.
So your body rejects that.
And, you know, some people feel good, some people don't feel good, but it's not
the best way.
Yeah. The synthetic one, which a lot of people are afraid of. And again, there are different products with different quality.
Yes.
So that matters, and how you take the medication, because a lot of patients take the medication with other medicines, with food.
And
you have a variable absorption.
Now, that's one thing patients don't realize, do they? Is it's very important to follow the instructions on how to take medication, when to take, with food, without food, other medications.
But sometimes the pharmacists don't give them the good instructions.
Oh,
I have
so
patients,
issue, yeah.
So, it, so there is a big issue with thyroid medication to be fasting, take with water, no coffee, no tea, no nothing, and wait an hour after you take it before you get your breakfast. And if you have supplements, you know, and again, I have patients coming with bags of supplements.
Maybe you
like
spoke
brother.
About that before, yeah.
Yeah, you don't need everything. You know, maybe you take some calcium because whatever reason, or some vitamin D, which is actually good. But those vitamins, you know, they need to be like 4 hours apart from the thyroid medicine.
See,
that's very important. You know, sometimes a TSH is that lab test. We measure how the medication works in your system. Mm-hmm. I had patients, I just rearranged their medicines. But I need time because sometimes I have 20 medicines.
Oh my gosh, yeah,
so I have to go through everything. And then it, both supplements and prescriptions, you know, there are prescription drugs out there a lot.
Yeah.
So I had to really separate them, and their numbers are coming back normal.
That's
and they
incredible.
Feel and they feel great.
Wow,
and
really
of course,
important.
In the process, I listened to them. So I built a
relationship. So there's a
and
lot of mind
trust
stuff.
Me. So it's a lot
Very
of mind
important.
Thing.
That's incredible. Irinal, you're going to come back again a lot. And so
Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you.
But you just have so much wisdom and so much good advice. And this is what people need to hear. You know, this is a whole aspect to medicine that I think people don't realize is, you know, that relationship, the mind, the importance of not mixing medications, the timing. Because people just take them whenever they want. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard of people emptying a whole bunch in a bowl and just taking, you know, just taking a handful. There's no, and then wondering why they feel terrible. So thank you for being here
thank
with
you.
Me today. And there's so many more questions I want to ask you. But I'm going to have you back
next
on the
time.
Podcast and TV show very soon. Thank you so much for being such a dear friend and such an amazing doctor.
Thank you so
much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's an honor for me.